It is 41 degrees, 710 in the Twin Cities. Well, as I was mentioning earlier, are we going to be ready for the Super Bowl? You heard Sloan Martin's story about the buses that are going to go back on the Nicollet Mall, and actually they're going to be taken off just in time for the Super Bowl because there's going to be all kinds of events going on all up and down the Nicollet Mall. Well, maybe somebody who can answer that, I'm sure he can, is the Meet Minneapolis CEO Melvin Tennant. Mr. Tennant, thank you so much for coming on.
Good evening. How are you this evening?
Doing very well, sir. All right, let me ask you, I guess a lot of people are wondering, especially because of all the construction we've had in the downtown area and around town, is Minneapolis or the Twin Cities going to be ready for the Super Bowl?
I absolutely believe so. We've been planning for this for years, and just to kind of put it in perspective, we originally secured the Super Bowl in 2014, and it was later that year that the Minnesota Super Bowl host committee was formed, led by Maureen Bausch, and she has assembled a fantastic team, and that is really where most of the work is taking place. So in conjunction with the public and private sectors, all of the financial supporters from various governmental units, everyone is on high alert to make sure that all of the promises that were made to the NFL back in 2014, we are all able to live up to. So I feel very confident in that.
All right. And certainly Maureen Bausch is, and I know members of her team, she is an impressive person, and that team, I think, absolutely, I am sure they are on top of it. Let me ask you, though, for those people who aren't going to the game, you know, I understand because I work downtown both here at WCCO Radio and WCCO TV. Downtown is going to be kind of transformed. Can you kind of walk us through what to expect and what's going to happen in terms of maybe even traffic or parking downtown or, you know, people who might have to visit at the government center, that kind of thing?
Well, the two highlights of events for all fans, even those that are not going to the game, first of all, is Super Bowl Live, which is the festival that will take place between 6th and 12th Street on Nicollet for the 10 days leading up to the Super Bowl.
So that's 10 days, and so that's from 6th yes. to what street?
12th Street.
Okay.
Right. And there was just announced just yesterday some of the entertainment lineup with Terry Lewis and Jimmy Jam curating many of the musical acts. So those were announced yesterday. And so that is one event that absolutely everyone can participate in. And in fact, we would like to say that a million people over the course of those 10 days will visit that Super Bowl Live Festival between 6th and 12th Street. So we're very excited
wow.
about that. That will really play into the fact that we have such a vibrant downtown anyway with so many residents living there that we'll have a chance to really expose those visitors to what a fantastic city and downtown that we have. So Super Bowl Live, and then at the Minneapolis Convention Center, the Super Bowl Experience, which is the fan festival, and it's a low price ticket, and we're really excited about the fact that right downtown fans can enjoy both of those great attractions and really never have to get into a car at all. So that's really, really exciting in my view that we have such great things to do and we have such a compact footprint so that many of those activities will not require anyone to have any sort of transportation at all.
Well, let me ask you this. What about the thousands of people that work downtown? Will they be able to still get to their jobs or?
Well, those plans are still being finalized, but we are absolutely encouraging office workers to enjoy those festivities. In fact, right now in downtown Minneapolis, I think 40% of our office workers use public transportation anyway. So that's a convenient way to still be able to get to work, but also to visit some of those great attractions, Super Bowl Live and the Super Bowl Experience at the Convention Center. And I know some businesses are making provisions for their workers to do to maybe telecommute those days, but we absolutely want all of the community to enjoy the great activities and not just the visitors that are coming in from around the world.
And in terms of, you know, the announcement about, you know, different kinds of transportation and different kinds of, you know, ways to get that, when is that all going to be rolled out? Because 10 days, I mean, I think a lot of people are focusing on the game, which is the 4th. But you're really going back a whole nother week into January, which isn't that far away.
No, it isn't. So those plans are being finalized and will be and information will be released very shortly. And there's always already been lots of communication with the building owners through the the Building Owners and Managers Association and through the Downtown Council. So it won't be news, but all of the official information will be released very, very shortly. So there's been a great deal of communication taking place, so okay. I don't think anyone will be surprised.
You know, one of the things that I know has been discussed is that there are a lot of empty storefronts in downtown Minneapolis, right in this area where the Super Bowl Live will be. Are those going to be temporarily filled? I had heard, you know, announcements of possible pop-up stores and that kind of thing. Are we going to see that at all?
I know that there's a plan and endeavor to have all of those storefronts either covered or occupied, and those plans are still underway. So, again, with 63 days left, if you haven't looked at the countdown clock, I know time is getting short, but Maureen and others are working very hard to make sure that we put our best foot forward. So we feel like we'll be able to show, again, a very vibrant downtown when the visitors come, starting 10 days okay. before that Super Bowl.
Well, and I also heard that, for instance, the light rail, maybe it's just for the game day itself, that that's actually going to be just for people with tickets.
Well, but I think Metro Transit has also made it clear that there are provisions for others that are not going to the game. But it's as part of the security plan is why that is taking place. But Metro Transit has actually beefed up service significantly so that no one will be lacking in the ability to utilize their great service.
And you know, you mentioned the security situation, and obviously you can't get into all the details, but I have to imagine that is just an extraordinary effort.
Well, it is, and I just feel very, very, very good about the fact that all of our local agencies, particularly Minneapolis Police Department, has been engaged with all of the various levels of security for years, having obviously gone to Houston and previous Super Bowls just to see what how other cities are able to handle those challenges. We know that the Super Bowl is the only annual Level 1 national security event, and so there are all sorts of resources that come along with that. And again, like you said, certainly I'm not equipped to get into that right now, but we are looking forward to having a very, very outstanding, safe experience for all the fans that are going to be here.
Now, somebody like you, and we're chatting here with Meet Minneapolis CEO Melvin Tennant, I imagine for folks like you, there aren't a whole lot of days off between now and this big event.
No, in fact, I just want to give a huge shout out to our team at Meet Minneapolis and Sports Minneapolis, our affiliate. And we've made it clear to our team that we're going to have to defer vacations for a while, but we'll certainly make up for it after the Super Bowl. But literally, this is an all hands on deck for Meet Minneapolis, Sports Minneapolis, our entire hospitality community, and obviously all of the other folks that have to keep the promises that we made to the NFL back in 2014. But this is an exciting time, a time that it's been 26 years since we've hosted a Super Bowl, so I think everyone really is motivated by that fact that we want to put our best foot forward.
And also, so you've got all this going on for the fans, but you also have, I imagine, just an enormous contingent of news media coming, and they have to be taken care of as well.
Absolutely. 5,000 credentialed media.
Wow, okay.
There's a very detailed media plan for them. Obviously, they all have their agendas and things that they want to do, but we want to make sure that the media has a great time here, because obviously what you and your colleagues say about Minneapolis is certainly we're looking forward to having it benefit us for years to come with the positive media that we're expecting.
Right, and I remember last time, because I was covering it and I was working here, and I think people were just I don't know if it was because the expectations were so low and people were kind of grumpy about coming here because it's obviously a colder climate, but it was just rave reviews.
And we expect that. I think it's with all of our visitor promotion, we find that once visitors come here, they have a very good opinion of us and want to come back. So this is important for us to really do a good job of impressing all the visitors that are coming, because we very much want those visitors to come back again in the future.
You know, it sounds like the big things really are going to be this NFL Live experience on the Nicollet Mall, and also the events at the convention center that people really can, who can't afford the big bucks for a Super Bowl ticket, can enjoy those. Are you going to have like shuttle buses or something from, you know, the kind of the way they do for the state fair, to bring people, you know, park and rides to, so that they can come downtown and experience these events?
Well, Metro Transit is putting that plan together.
Okay.
And that will be, again, released very shortly. But they've been a great partner of ours, and looking forward to being able to have people utilize public transportation and get around comfortably without the need to park a car or figure out where you're going to park it. And so all those things are coming together very nicely.
Okay.
So we're very excited about that.
Well, it is exciting, and it's kind of hard to believe that it's so close. I mean, you mentioned 63 days.
63 days.
That's a you got it down to the days there. And obviously, people like yourself are working just tirelessly to make sure that this goes over extremely well and everything happens perfectly. Melvin Tennant, thank you so much, sir, for giving us the time this evening.
Esme, thank you very much, and let's go Vikings tomorrow.
Absolutely, go Vikings! Wouldn't that be cool? If the Vikings made it to, I feel like I don't want to jinx it, but it's possible.
Well, don't worry about it. I mean, that would be very, very groundbreaking. That would be historic. So we'll see how that goes.
All right, great. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, it would be historic. I still obviously there are going to be a lot of logistics. It's going to be interesting. I wonder if like all the employers downtown, a suggestion to my bosses at CCOTV, although being in the media, you're not going to get off, but I think it's going to be hard to get down here for a lot of people who have, you know, just kind of ordinary jobs to try and do that. But a million people, and it's 10 days before the big game. That's a long time. 10 days is a long, long time. So it'll be exciting. It will be interesting to see. We want to thank Melvin Tennant for sharing that with us this evening. All right, we do have to take a quick break. You are listening to News Radio 830. It is 7:25 in the Twin Cities right now. It is 41 degrees, still quite mild. Not a lot of snow these days. You know, interesting to think about the Super Bowl and all the events here. And I think the last time it was here back in
1992.
One of the, I know that they had this ice palace, and it was also very mild. And the ice palace was starting to melt, and everybody was kind of freaking out, but it got just cold enough. But I wonder what kind of the weather thing will be definitely a factor. I mean, if we have one of our weather freezes, the deep freeze, that's going to be interesting.
The Minnesota special, as they like to call it, across the rest of the country.
The Minnesota special. That will be interesting to see. Well, anyway, we've got much more ahead. We're going to talk with the owner of the Haven Financial Group, Larry Kellevig, coming up after the break in the next half hour. Actually, I wanted to talk to him about you know, the stock market, the fact that it has been smashing records. It continues to smash records. Some of that was on sort of the predication, the belief that there would be some sort of Republican tax cut bill. Looks like that has happened. And I'd love to see, get his take on that. There are also a lot of stock analysts and experts who feel that we are in a bubble, and depending on, you know, what happens both in the, you know, around the world, or just here, you know, in the United States, what will happen? There also have been a lot of conflicting reports with this tax cut bill, what that'll do to the housing market, how much people will be able to deduct. Anyway, it's a lot going on here, but what does that mean for you, your home value? What does it mean if you've got, you know, any kinds of investments in stocks? Overall, the economy in general, what is his take on that? So it'll be interesting to talk to him about that. Also at 8 o'clock, we've got my friend Professor David Schultz. And he and I have, you know, he's always been so gracious to give his time and to talk. And once again, I think I'm going to begin my chat with him as just saying it just seems as if the news cycle couldn't get any crazier. One of the reasons that I really value so much, and I think it's so great of David Schultz to give his time to talk to us, is that obviously in terms of political analysis, he does a great job. He also is a law professor, and I know he has worked on sexual harassment training for companies, you know, warning them sort of the implications of not having standards and policies in place. So we can talk to him about that as well, some of the implications for people like Senator Franken. You heard on Sloan's newscast, if you were here at the top of the hour, the latest woman to come forward, this is the fifth accuser. She says that Senator Franken groped – actually, he was not a senator then. This was in 2003. He was still an entertainer. She says he groped her breast, and she was actually very tearful. I had not heard that sound before. But we'll talk to him about what he thinks about that. Also, his take – and also I'll ask him as well about this ethics committee investigation. It sounds like that, you know, is not something that in the past has resulted in pretty strict – you know, censures against members of the Senate. Also want to ask him about the Michael Flynn investigation, because that is a biggie, folks, although not quite as big as it appeared yesterday when a very well-known journalist from ABC News, Brian Ross, reported that his telling him that part of the plea deal for Michael Flynn to plead guilty to one count of perjury was to actually testify against the president. And that he was going to claim, Michael Flynn was going to claim that the president actually ordered these contacts with the Russians. That apparently isn't true. And I'm going to try and pull up some of the details when we get into the conversation with David Schultz. But apparently ABC News suspended Brian Ross, who's been there for years. He's been suspended without pay for a month because of this story. So, we'll get the details on that. That is apparently false, or as the president would say, fake news. Anyway, but let's take a quick break because we do want to give you some weather. And then when we come back, we will talk with Larry Kellevig, who is the owner of the Haven Financial Group. Well, if you're keeping an eye out on Wall Street, you have to recognize you saw it. Smashing records once again, records. And there are a lot of people wondering, is this a bubble? A lot of people thinking that the tax cut proposal that has been arrived at in Washington was something that many investors were waiting for, expecting to get. And the president apparently has delivered. The Republicans apparently have delivered, although there's got to be a conference committee to come to some agreement. But apparently the market's responding to that. But joining me is somebody who knows much better than what I know about this subject. Larry Kellevig is the owner of Haven Financial Group. Larry, thank you so much for coming on.
Good evening.
All right. Well, let me ask you, first of all, are we in a bubble?
Well, certainly that has been a discussion here for a while.
I mean, it's been a discussion for a long while, and it keeps going up.
It has. We've had a bull market for about 9 years. A bubble, I don't know. Is there a lot of confidence that's been built up? Absolutely. This 24,000 milestone, it's fantastic. It just shows how far we've advanced from the Great Recession and so forth. In fact, a lot of investor confidence, 3.3% growth. Higher since 2014, a bubble. That's why I always caution. The key is how long is this going to last?
Because it's been so strong and so, you know, big and just charging like a locomotive for so long. It's something that I think a lot of people are genuinely worried about. What do you say when clients come to you and say, "What should we do?"
Well, we have this discussion because, of course, we don't just discourage emotions, knee-jerk reactions. But the reality is, for many of our clients who are close to retiring or are in retirement, they're at a different stage of life. And always know that, you know, you should be diversified. Make sure that your risk level, even when greediness likes to set in, where are you at and how does it look for the retirement future? For younger investors, they're at a different stage of life. So we have a different discussion with that. So always be cautious, be balanced, and we stress test our clients' portfolios to make sure that there's expectations and there's no surprises.
Okay. Now, this tax cut proposal, I've been reading up on it, and it seems like it's all over the map. It's changing. There are handwritten notes in the margins. So it does look like the corporate tax rate is being cut dramatically down to 20%, and that is a huge deal. How it affects people and individuals is muddied between these different proposals. Have you had a chance to look at it and read anything about it? And what's your initial take? And do you think this is one of the reasons that we did hit another record?
Oh, I think it's probably the biggest reason we hit another record. In fact, there's lots of variables to that, but just the psychological factor that people think, wow, Congress is actually going to get something done.
It looks like they are. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, and it does have to go to a conference committee.
Yeah, they're really, really close. The House and the Senate are really close to reconciling. Now, could there be some, changes at the very end? There certainly could be. But the corporate profits, that's given Wall Street a lot of optimism. As far as the personal tax side of things, with the tax brackets from 7 to 4 and the amounts, it's going to affect everybody differently. Now, you asked, have I read through it? Not all 500 pages yet. Not quite yet.
Well, that's what some of the... Certainly Democrats, including I saw Senator Amy Klobuchar on Twitter and social media saying, I need more time to read the 500 pages because of those notes. I did see different versions. I thought one version still had the 7 brackets, but I may be outdated and haven't gotten past page 30. But it's your understanding that it's going down to 4 brackets?
One says 4, the other, that's one of the things they have to reconcile.
One of the things that I think a lot of people were concerned about was the home mortgage interest deduction and property tax deductions and deductions for college loans, all of those things, which it seems to me would affect people perhaps in deductions for state income tax. This could hit a lot of people in Minnesota adversely, but what is your take?
Well, there's no doubt if they do take that away, it will affect those on both sides, on each side of the coast, Minnesota, those that have different taxation, of course. There were some details that were taken out and put in late last night. The proof is in the details, and when it's all said and done, we'll know. But that will affect people drastically, and it's going to affect what I saw last week and just the discussions I had with clients, is especially seniors, when the exemptions and so forth. It was positive as far as that doubling the deductions, but there's going to be people that it affects the wrong way, and it's just difficult to appease everybody.
Right, and I think that's one of the things. And I mean, obviously, you're somebody who's just trying to absorb it as well. I mean, I know that there's also been concern amongst seniors about the change in deduction for sizable medical expenses. And again, this is obviously a work in progress, but. So you're one of those that feels firmly that this whole effort to get some kind of a tax cut through is something that is responsible for this continued surge.
There's no doubt. I think it's the biggest one. Now, there's a lot of variables. The business conditions are better and there's better profits U.S. and worldwide. But I caution that because even though this is all good and the 24,000 miles, it's just wonderful. And I like to be realistic. The fact is that the political landscape, the business landscape, geopolitical, there's lots of variables that affect the market. We're up now. I hope it stays. But anybody that's been in the market knows that it's a cycle, and always be aware of what's going on.
And the overall cycle here, I wanted to ask you about, obviously, President Trump is – somebody who can be very volatile. He will come out with policies and in different statements on Twitter. And at times the market will respond to these kinds of things. Is it sort of more difficult to be in your shoes with a president that perhaps is not somebody you can kind of figure out what he's going to do from day to day?
He is unpredictable. There's no doubt about it. What I know is prior to the election, many people said, well, if he gets in, everything's going to go bad. I know the S&P is up 18% plus this year. Does it make it more difficult?
In terms of the increase in is there sort of a limit to how high it can go, or is it, just have to be kind of careful and watch?
you have to be watchful. I mean, how high can it go? I hope it continues to go high. But
do we have him?
A lot stems from this tax, right. This tax thing. If it doesn't get done, I was really worried. Now maybe it could go on a little longer. Of course, there's other variables that could affect that.
In terms of the variables that you're watching or monitoring, what are the things that you personally are keeping an eye on?
Well, you have to be watchful of any world affairs that are going on. As much as we love to be optimistic, North Korea being one, we know that any of those things, as they have in the past, can have a detriment on the way the markets react. We've been there, done that. Now, we can't live in fear, but at the same time, we have to be cognitive. Be diversified. Know where you're at. Limit the surprises, especially if you're close to retirement. You're in a different stage of life. And it's been a long time since we've had it down.
Okay. How about you? There are a lot of people who don't have their own personal investments, but they are in a 401k, which, of course, in most instances that I know of, and maybe I'm wrong, if you please correct me, is that most companies that do have 401k plans do allow you to kind of, you know, maneuver or you know, have different options within them. What advice do you have for somebody who is in a 401k plan?
In a 401k or any of those employer-sponsored plans, you have options. It may be a stable value. It might be different levels of risk. Consult with somebody that will help you in that area. And, of course, if you're over 59 and a half, government gives you options in 95% of those plans to go outside of the plan, even if you're still contributing. So know all your options because they're out there.
And so what are the options if you're past 59 and a half?
The government, most 95% of plans allow you to go outside of your plan to look for other investment opportunities that are not in your employer-sponsored plans because there's limitations.
Oh, so that would still be considered a 401k?
It would be rolled over to an IRA and maintain your 401k. It just gives you other investment options. Because you're closer to retirement, the federal government gives you that opportunity in almost all plans.
Wow. Okay. I was not aware of that. I guess some of these things are so complicated, and it looks like, you know, there's going to be a whole new set of rules, you know, coming down the pike. I mean, how long do you think it's going to be for people to really understand the implications if, in fact, this tax measure does go through? I mean, how long is it really going to take to get through the details, or will it actually even take more than just weeks or months, maybe even a year or two to see the real implications?
I think the latter, a year or two, obviously will ease into it. But thank goodness they just recently came out that whatever it is wasn't going to be retroactive to 2017. I don't know how they were going to pull that off. But it's going to take time to work through the details. So I always encourage work with a professional, especially as it relates to investments and tax planning.
All right. Well, good advice. We'll have to check that out. And we'll see how much higher it can go. I mean, you know, it doesn't seem to have any limit at this point, but I know a lot of people are kind of holding their breath over that. So
as I am.
As you are. Okay. Larry Kalvik, thank you so much, the owner of Haven Financial Group. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to News Radio 830 WC. It is 7:48 in the Twin Cities. I apologize, Esme Murphy, with you until 9 o'clock. Bit of a cold here, so probably hear that in my voice, and if I turn off the mic and cough, hang in there. But listen, I'm following a really interesting story right now. We were chatting in the previous segment with Larry Kalvik from the Haven Financial Group, and he was talking about how volatile the news cycle is and how that can, in fact, affect the stock market. And there was a story that turned out to be wrong that was reported by ABC News, reporter Brian Ross, who's pretty highly thought of in the terms of being an investigative reporter. And as a result of the story, he reported the stock market fell 300 points after he reported this story. And this is what he reported. And he has now been suspended. Brian Ross, ABC News, Brian Ross has been suspended 4 weeks without pay for this botched news report. This is the story that he reported. It had to do with the Michael Flynn guilty plea. The former NSA director top aide to Donald Trump in the inner circle with candidate Trump and then the president. He pleads guilty yesterday to one count of lying to federal investigators about Russia contacts as a member of the Trump administration and also during the campaign. And he acknowledged, Michael Flynn acknowledged that he was going to be cooperating with the special prosecutor, Robert Mueller, who was looking into allegations of collusion between candidate Trump, President Trump, the campaign, and the Russians. Well, Brian Ross's report, and that's all accurate. That's what everybody's reporting. Brian Ross at ABC News took it a huge step further. He reported that his sources were telling him that the president, or then candidate Donald Trump, personally directed him to contact the Russians, which is vastly different than somebody in the campaign telling him, you know, an aide saying, well, contact the Russians. And this was, you know, I remember Steve Simpson, you know, who was monitoring all the activities on social media, saw it very quickly when it first came out on ABC News Politics on Twitter. And Steve showed it to me. He said, wow, this is, you know, incredible. And I was filling in for John Hines. And so I actually said, you know, I talked about it on the John Hines show yesterday. And I said, you know, if this is true, this is an enormous deal that the president was personally directing these ties with Russia. And I said, I do have to tell you that nobody else is reporting it. Well, I guess it turns out the reason that nobody else was reporting it is that it apparently wasn't true. And ABC News has issued this correction, a correction of ABC News special report. Flynn prepared to testify that President-elect Donald Trump directed him to make contact with the Russians during the transition, initially as a way to work together to fight ISIS in Syria. So they had to retract that. And Brian Ross has been, in fact, suspended for 4 weeks without pay. So that is really a remarkable story. And I think it's just – and we've done these stories interviewing people who are media analysts. The pressure to get something – to get the scoop or to get it something first or to be ahead of the story is awfully high. And certainly at the network, obviously – even more so, but the pressure ultimately is that you got to get it right. And so ABC News paying a heavy price, and I'm sure that the president, will, if he is not already, will weigh in on that. But that is a big change of events and certainly a distraction from what is clearly a very difficult story for the White House and for the president. So that is something that is still emerging, but that just came out this evening. They were suspending Brian Ross for 4 weeks without pay because of that botched report. And coming up, I'm going to ask Professor David Schultz about that. He will certainly have his own analysis, his take. That being said, obviously the Brian Ross version was far more serious than the actual allegations themselves, which is those are pretty serious as well. And I think it's fair to say that the White House has to be extremely concerned. There are numerous reports that nobody is denying that, in fact, it was Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, Ivanka Trump's husband, who had directed Mr. Flynn to contact the Russians. And so that would put certainly Mr. Kushner, Jared Kushner, in jeopardy. But that's a far cry from having the president directly ask Mr. Flynn to do that. So We'll sort that out with Professor David Schultz. I also will ask him about the fallout with the continued sexual assault revelations. Another woman has come forward against Al Franken. This woman was a captain in the military. She alleged that in 2003, before Senator Franken was a senator, he was not a senator until actually 2009 because of that long recount. She is alleging and actually alleged very tearfully in one of Sloan in a WCCO TV interview that the president, that Senator Franken or then comedian Franken touched her breasts and held his hand over her breast, and she was very emotional about it. She also said she didn't want him to lose his job, which is interesting that there are a number of these women that have come forward who have said they don't want the Senator Franken to lose his job. Certainly Leanne Tweeden said that. Now this woman, the latest to come forward, is also saying that as well. Also want to invite you to tune into WCCO-TV Sunday morning. We will be on at 6 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. with Micah Gustinac. Matt Dean is the individual, the state representative who won that straw poll for the GOP at the GOP convention up in Brainerd this weekend, which is a big deal. It's not a definitive thing, but he came out in first. So obviously the governor's race is moving forward. Representative Erin Murphy, who's on the DFL side, will be on. I was interested in talking to her because she's actually one of two candidates for governor, DFL candidates for governor, who says that Senator Franken should in fact resign. And I do want to ask, what is our IQ, Jonathan? Because is it 67? Oh, okay, sorry, a little confusion here. Sorry. Anyway, so she's one of the people that has asked Senator Franken to resign. She is one of only two Democrats who have asked him to resign. And then also I will be talking with Linda Lawrenson, who is the chief strategy officer for the Alzheimer's Association of Minnesota. And she will be talking about some of the latest advances in terms of diagnoses and also treatment for Alzheimer's, as well as what families and caregivers need to know. It is something that obviously a lot of people, affects so many people. One out of three people over 85 has Alzheimer's, and we'll talk about that.